something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message, The Legal and Vital Aspect of Christ.
Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10 from verse 1. Let's take a look at this. Acts chapter 10 from verse 1. He says, there was a certain man in Caesarea. Now, he says a certain man. So this is not a parable, okay? Certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, all right? Verse 2, a devout man. This man was a devout man and one that feared God, God-fearing. And he didn't just fear God alone. He feared God with all his house. Everybody in his house was commanded to fear God too. And he gave much alms to the poor, to the people, and prayed to God always. He prayed, not just sometimes. This is why I say, oh, you know, I like that guy. He's not really born again, but he's God-fearing, and he prays all the time. In fact, he sees visions, you know. Verse 3, he saw in a vision. I told you. See, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial. I like this. They didn't come for an answer. They came for a memorial. See, a memorial. Who wants his prayers to be a memorial? You want answers, right? When you pray, you want answers. So God was just writing down his prayers. And that sister thought all the time that God's answering. Well, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine arms are come up for a memorial before God. Next verse. And now, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. Read the rest. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. What thou oughtest to do? Think about this. Why would the man need Peter? You mean everything he did was not enough? Tell me. Everything he did was not enough. He was God-fearing. He saw visions. Devout, prayerful, and God said, it's not enough. You need more. Painful to know that everything you do is not good enough. And then you read the rest of the story. See, and when Peter came, he gave him the message of Christ. You've studied this chapter, read the rest of it all the way. That's where you get to how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth by the time you get to the 38th verse. And then go into Peter's explanation in chapter 11, and it gives you even more details. simple things. He says, when Peter comes, he will tell you words by which you shall be saved. Meaning simply, the man, with all what he did, was not saved. This is why we preach the gospel to people. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. It's not about what you have done and what you haven't done. It's about Christ and what he has done. Which if you will accept that what he did was enough. He says, through this man is preached unto you the remission of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Glory to God. So, Satan has legal power over human beings until they are taken out of the domain of darkness, the kingdom of darkness. When you are born again, what happens to you is you are, let me show it to you, Colossians chapter 1 from verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, how are we translated? He says, who hath delivered us, not who will deliver us. In fact, maybe I should show you the simple way that this was rendered. Go to Acts chapter 11, just so you'd see it. I told you about Peter's explanation when the other apostles were questioning him about his visit to Cornelius. He says, the Spirit of God asked me to go, that's why I went. Because they were asking him, why did you go to the house of the uncircumcised? Cornelius was a Roman centurion, not a Jew. So they said, why did you go there? So from the 12th verse, he says, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Read the next verse. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Who shall tell thee words? See, he saves through words. Look at that man, Cornelius. He did everything, and yet he was not saved. He was not saved. He was devout. He was prayerful. He was giving alms. He was God-fearing. And yet he was not saved. God said, he sent an angel to him. He says, look, send men for Peter. When Peter comes, he will tell you words by which you and your household shall be saved. Saved. Words. Why didn't the angel give him the words? Because angels are not sent with the words. The gospel must be preached by men. It's our honor. God gave it to us as our honor, our blessing to preach the gospel. Wonderful. I'm bringing you words right now. See, and these words have the power to do great things in your life. He says, he shall tell you words whereby you and your household shall be saved. Amazing truth. Praise God. Amen. So go back to that Colossians 1:13. From the 12th verse, maybe you go to the 12th verse so you put it in context. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, which has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That means the kingdom of light. Glory to God. Who hath delivered us? I don't know what some people want to do with this verse. Those who are looking for deliverance all over the world. And who are born again. Christians who are born again. I mean, what deliverance are you looking for? I know that there are those who preach it like, it's got to be their experience. So they say they've experienced it. They know what they're talking about. So I say, You know, sometimes I meet with ministers and things like this come up. You know, and I talk about their experiences. And I say, it's got nothing to do with your experience. I cast out devils too. But no devil is going to get me to believe something against God. God said, He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. When were we delivered? I'll tell you. When Jesus died, the payment was made for all sin. Satan had no claims anymore. The death of Jesus was the complete payment for sin forever. Through this man is preached unto you the remission of sins. King James uses forgiveness of sins. It's remission of sins. Greek aphesis. It's remission of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. Now, what's it saying? By his death, you were delivered. By his resurrection, you were translated. Look at it. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness? When he died, the payment was made, consummated. Satan had no more claims. Because it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so Jesus paid the death penalty for every man. He died in our place. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Praise God.
It's time for your miracle.
I see a lady in a dream. Somebody put something into your mouth and you swallowed it. When you woke up, you felt like you wanted to throw it out. And you've been trying to throw it out ever since. And it never came out. And from time to time, you feel that discomfort from within you. And when you remember it, you want to throw up. In spite of the fact that you've thrown up several times, it didn't come out. Wherever you are, find your way to the front. Find your way. I want that lady to find her way to the front. I want to help you take that thing out of your life tonight.
Pastor, you just gave a word concerning someone
yep.
that swallowed something in a dream and has been trying to throw. I've got these ladies here
yep.
for the same case.
Come.
Pastor, there are some here too.
Okay, y'all come. It's the same devil. Just stand there. Stand there. Something is happening already. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thou devil of darkness, right now, get out of there now! Out! 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 It's coming out. It can't stay in you. It can't stay.
now. Ow!
In Mark chapter 9, verse 17, a certain man brought his son to Jesus for prayer. Mark chapter 9, verse 20. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Verse 26. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. These women are coughing out substances. Some of them, items that they had eaten in their dream experiences. And as they do so, the evil spirit departs from them. Glory to God.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Main Church Naoya, Zebra Road, behind Metroplex Mall. Worship with us on Wednesday 6 p.m. and Sunday 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. For prayer and counseling or to share your testimony with us, please call +256 777-002-372 or +256 744-842-849 or send an email to info@loveworldradiantworks.org.
This is the continuation of the message, The Legal and Vital Aspect of Christ.
Hallelujah.
When Jesus died, everyone was delivered. But the deliverance was not enough. And this is where they make their mistakes. Those who are looking for deliverance. Now, look at it. Deliverance was not enough. Very true. But when you were born again, you became instantly catapulted into the kingdom of light. That's the word translated. It means transferred. When you proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, you receive eternal life and you walk up in the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. In oneness with God. Now, two things immediately, legal and vital. If you believe, you will not what? Perish. Because you have the Son of God. He gave his only begotten Son for you. And you believe. Perishing is no more. Because he died for you. God gave his Son to die for you. But his Son did not remain in death or in the grave. God raised him up. So you're translated because he was raised from death. And so you have eternal life. The life that he has, now you have. So you have the legal and the vital. Hallelujah. So I'm legally a child of God. But I'm also vitally a child of God. Hallelujah. I'm legally a child of God. I'm vitally a child of God. Think about it again. Some are conscious of the legal aspect, even though they don't use these semantics. Okay? But that's actually what they're thinking. Because they're struggling. They're trying to make it happen. They're trying to claim. How can you? How? Here, look at it like this. If you are Deacon's son, come please. If you're his son, born of him, it doesn't matter whether he decides that you're his son or you agree that you're his son. If you like, say you are not. Vitally, you are. Legally, you can repudiate it. You can reject him and he can reject you. Legally. But it doesn't change the vital reality. Thank you. So you have Christians who are struggling and trying to catch, you know, oh, Father, I claim my health. The devil will not take it. He can't take it. What is your claim to health? What is your claim to health? I'll tell you. You've got a claim to health. Now, that's different from claiming your health. Okay? When I say a claim to health, that means a reason. You've got a reason for declaring and stating the reality of your health and why you must have it. Why it is real. Why you've got to trust that it is there. But first, let's look at a few things. Go back to what you just wrote down. Number one, you wrote, what did you write? Read what you wrote. Yes, you wrote down the legal aspect, and then you wrote down the vital aspect. Excellent. Now, how do they work? Let me read something to you, which you will have to write down. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is margin on. The legal aspect of salvation is based upon acknowledgement and acting on the word. Did you write it down? I'll go again. The legal aspect of salvation is based upon acknowledgement and acting upon the word. See, you've got to know it. When you know it, then you've got to act on it. It's same thing with any legal document. When you read that legal document and find out something that's been willed to you, bequeathed to you, you act on the document. You exercise your rights and you make your claim. Right? But if you don't know about it, you would never act on it. Because anyway, you don't know. You don't know. You have to know. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. See, because they don't know, so they don't act on it. Praise God. So, remember, the legal aspect is based upon acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. You've got to acknowledge it. You've got to hear it, recognize it, and accept it. That's what it is to acknowledge. You've got to know it and accept it. The vital aspect of salvation is based upon our confession. The vital aspect is based upon our confession. That means it is activated by confession. It is activated by confession. Let me give you an example. The Bible tells us about salvation, okay? In Romans chapter 10, let's read from verse 9. See how it works. Romans chapter 10, from verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, look at how this is so powerful. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Huh? Then he explains it. Next verse. For, he tells you why it works the way he just told you. For with the heart, man believeth. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. You see, you can't believe with your mind. You can't believe with your brain. You can't believe with your senses. You can't believe with your reasoning. You believe with your heart. You believe with your heart. Every human being has the capacity to believe. You can believe. Anyone who says, I can't believe, he chose not to believe. It's a choice. Look at it. For with the heart, man believeth. This means it's a principle. It's a spiritual principle. Every man can. Not some men. He didn't say with the heart, Christians believe. Man. This is how God made us. We can believe with our hearts. We can believe. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. When you believe with your heart, it translates into righteousness. That means you are made right with God. And with the mouth, see that? With the mouth, confession is made. 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 Not with the mind. With the mouth, confession is made. With the mouth, confession is made. Look at it. He's telling you that salvation will not come by prayer. Salvation will not come by hoping. Salvation will not come by somebody laying hands on you. No, look at it. With the mouth, confession is made. With the mouth, confession is made. You make confession with your mouth. What does he mean by confession? He's not talking about confessing your sins. No, he's talking about speaking the same thing in consent with God. Homologia. It means saying the same thing in agreement with God. That's what it means. Okay? Confession is made. With my mouth, I say the same thing with God. What God has said, I say whatever I'm going to say that is in consonance, in agreement with Him. So God has said, so I say what He has said that works for me. So He says, with the mouth, confession is made and results in salvation.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe He died for me and God raised Him from the dead. I believe He's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through Him and in His name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
Wow. This message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Main Church Naoya, Zebra Road, behind Metroplex Mall. Worship with us on Wednesday 6 p.m. and Sunday 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Thank you for joining us today. If you would like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +256 777 002 372 or +256 744 842 849 or send an email to info@loveworldradionetworks.org.